I'm Anthony Moreno at 7:45. It was a progressive sweep in yesterday's city council elections. Gil Sorg won in District 5, Gabe Vasquez won in District 3, and Ivan Flores won in District 6 over incumbent Cio Levitino. Edmundo Resendez spoke to Cio Levitino and brings us this report.
What do you say on a night like this? What do you think the difference was in this election compared to your election 4 years ago?
I'm not sure I can analyze that yet. It's going to take a little bit of time to go over the numbers, look at the voting pattern at the different early convenience voting centers, and just do a debrief. But that's going to take a couple of days to do.
What do you say to the constituents that voted for you? What's their future for this community in the upcoming 4 years?
I would say to my supporters, those who got out and voted, those who worked hard for me, that you never give up hope, you never give up trying, and you keep moving forward. And it is critical that we remain active and vocal and concerned, and I will, and I hope they will join me.
Cio, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
In more election news, Joy Goldbaum has won in the municipal judge race. A New Mexico group that advocates for better gun control to reduce gun deaths has compiled the latest figures on gun violence in the state. Ross Brown has more.
New Mexico's Department of Public Health says 401 people in the state lost their lives to gun violence in 2016. And a group that wants to reduce that number thinks the state should put more resources toward the problem. New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence annually tracks statistics on the issue and compares the number of people killed by firearms to those killed by drunken drivers. That's 401 to 173. Miranda Viscoli with the group says the state should spend at least the same amount of money educating people on gun safety as it does on discouraging driving under the influence.
It's okay for a law-abiding citizen to have a gun, but right now our laws are so weak that anybody can get a gun. I mean, in terms of the fact that you can buy and sell guns on the street 24/7 in New Mexico, and nobody is stopping anybody.
The group worked with legislators in 2016 to pass a bill that would have kept guns out of the hands of domestic violence offenders, but it was vetoed by the governor. Viscoli says they'll try again in 2019 to get a similar bill passed. Of the gun deaths in the state last year, 85 were children, with nearly half as homicides and half as suicides. The Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence lists New Mexico among 10 states with the highest per capita rates of gun deaths, including suicides. Absent state funding, Viscoli says her group spends privately raised money to host gun safety events at schools and offers parents who have firearms at home free gun locks.
We're right now trying to get more gun locks to work with the firstborn program so that new parents, when they go home with the diaper bag they get from the hospital and all the other stuff that's in that bag, also has a gun lock and gun safety information.
Overall, gun deaths in the United States have dropped by 30% since 1993, but there have been more mass shooting deaths in the past 11 years than in the previous 23 years. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection.
Texas has adopted the CARE Act, which requires hospitals to identify family caregivers when they discharge a patient and provide instructions for their aftercare. But advocates such as AARP Texas say more should be done to help the state's 3.4 million family caregivers. Mark Richardson reports.
A new state law went into effect this year to help Texans care for loved ones who are ill or have a disability. But advocates say more should be done to help family caregivers. Statistics show if the family members who assist ill or aging relatives were replaced by paid caregivers, it would cost the state more than $35 billion a year. But according to Amanda Fredrickson with AARP Texas, that doesn't begin to account for the personal toll caregiving can place on spouses, children, or other family members who often provide continuous care for relatives who can't care for themselves.
In Texas, we have 3.4 million family caregivers. These are unpaid family members who are caring for their loved ones the way any of us would. And I think people don't realize how many people are having the same experience.
Texas has joined about two-thirds of the other U.S. states in adopting the CARE Act, a measure to support family caregivers when a patient is released from the hospital. Fredrickson says that's a good start, but it doesn't address other concerns faced by caregivers, such as health, safety, financial, legal, and life balance issues. She explains the CARE Act requires hospitals to ask patients if they want to designate a caregiver.
If the patient says yes, then they're expected to note that name and notify that family caregiver that their loved one is going to be discharged, then give them an opportunity to walk through the aftercare instructions and ask any questions.
Fredrickson notes there is much more to providing full-time care. Sharon Goldblatt from Round Rock is the sole caretaker for her husband, whose around-the-clock care needs sometimes mean a great deal of personal stress.
It's a constant state of anxiety because I never know if he's going to have a seizure or how his narcolepsy is going to be revealed on any particular day. So he really needs constant care, and that means that my life is all about his health.
AARP provides an online guide to assist caregivers, including a forum where they can contact other caregivers for information and support. For Texas News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.